in a place of expectation. And I can tell you, 2024 is going to be a year of more. I'm talking about more and more, more of God, more of increase, praise God. Now, the world won't tell you that, and the news won't tell you that, and them that's skeptical won't tell you that, and them that's in unbelief won't tell you that. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, praise God, will come to you through your fellowship with the Lord, through Him, praise God, and the Word of God, and He'll make things real to you that's not real to everybody else of the kingdom. And I mean, you'll walk that thing out and you will see the results of your faith if you don't quit, if you don't draw back. God spoke to me, if I was going to title the sermon tonight, it would be not a time to slack up. And it's not a time to slack up. I don't care if you've been born again a week, man, I was running devils. I was running devils out everywhere I went, man, after I was born again a month. Now, I was giving in to him at times I didn't know it. But, buddy, when I wasn't, I'm running him out of town. I'm looking for people to lay hands on. I'm casting out, I'm binding him at work, praise God. I'm releasing the blessing at work. And you know what? I knew just enough to know that I had victory in Jesus. That's all I knew. You don't have to know a whole lot. All you have to know is Him. You know Him. You're in Him. Now, if you're not born again, you are subject to the devil. You are in submission to him, whether you believe it or not. The Bible says that if you're not for God, you are against God. Praise God. And the Bible says that Satan is your father. And you don't have any kingdom rights, but only through Jesus. But you can change that. You can surrender yourself to the lordship of Jesus. Then the things of life will not throw curveballs at you and take you the way that it wants to take you, and the world and the culture. But His name is Jesus, and He did come to this earth. He did die on that cross, and He was buried, and He was raised from the dead, and He's not a weak being. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and He can impart to you the power of the kingdom of God, and your life will be successful. We're teaching our grandkids, just like we did our kid, you know, Travis, the Word of God, so that when they end up at his age or even before, that their life is not in shambles and not in shipwreck, because Jesus is the way. I've been serving him a few years, and I raised my son didn't know nothing but church. He knew church, and he knew dad praying and fasting and seeking the Lord, and had him even partaking in it, not doing without food, but with having to fast from the things, some of the things that meant something to him for the Lord, teaching him, teaching the young, our grandkids, praise God, hallelujah, to honor God. They pray. I rode with them to school this morning, and Teresa takes them to school. Beth picks them up. And so every morning it's prayer request time. And when we leave the house, hallelujah, we left the house, and it was prayer request time, and the prayer request was made up, then they prayed, and then Teresa, she said, okay, it's time for Pawpaw to pray for y'all. And I prayed for them and blessed them, praise God, hallelujah. And then it's time for them to sing their songs. And Aiden, one of Aiden's songs was, Lord, I lift your name on high. And he can get all the words just right, but he sang all. And I thought, praise God, this is a result of serving Jesus. They're on their way to school, and that's normal for them to have prayer requests and sing songs. And you know what that's going to cause them? It'll cause them. See, there's never a time to slack up in the kingdom. There's times of rest. There's times of still waters. There's time when there's no trials going on. That's not a time to slack up and back up. That's because you've entered into rest because of your stance of fighting the good fight of faith. See, Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. Faith is the force of God. Faith is simply standing there saying, God, I don't know how it's going to come out. I don't know why, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to serve you. I remember down there, that's all I knew to do. Read my Bible and go to church. And I'd go into the jails and preaching, didn't know how to preach or what to preach. So when I would hear the sermon, I would go to jail and preach what I heard that I could remember. And I was winning people left and right to Jesus in that jail. It's not got nothing to do too much of the knowledge that you have, but the more knowledge you get is the more skills you have. When you get knowledge that there's victory in Jesus, that means your life can turn into victory. There's a song, and I asked them if they could get me the words to it at church. And I know we sang it there, Johnny, but it says, victory, oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Stand on the word. Let the Lord do the battle. Victory, oh, victory is mine. I called them, and I told them, I'd like to have the words to that song and the music. They looked for a week. And then they called me back and they said, we can't find that song. I don't remember that song. And I'm like, we sang it up there. Maybe they didn't, but maybe that's what the Holy Spirit and the angels were singing to me. And I heard, I don't know. But it don't make no difference. That give me that brought me revelation, that song. Victory is mine. The Bible says it is. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. See, the only way that you don't come out in victory is to slack up and back up. Slack up and don't go forward. Don't move forward in God. Don't move forward. Make plans to go further in God. And remember that when you hear the Word of God, there's always going to be tests come your way to test that Word, to try that Word, to get you not to get that Word rooted in your heart. Because why? Because revelation don't come from the head. Faith don't come from the head. Faith comes from the heart. Revelation comes from the Spirit. That's why you take it in the natural and you meditate on God's Word. You think about God's Word day and night. All I could think about was having a good life, pray God, back yonder when I got saved 20, 30 years ago. And I'm going to tell you something. There is victory in following Jesus. I don't care if half the church don't get it. You can be the one that gets it. Because of your stand and your heart towards the Lord and your mindset that you are going to come out. Your old man, your old life, your old life is not going to determine where you end up and how you go now, praise God, hallelujah. You see, we have to identify with Christ Jesus, identify with Him, identify with that new life, identify with that. And then God is going to take our life and move us in the direction of victory called Canaan land in the Bible. Well, I can tell you after 30 years, sure I've been through heated battles at home. Sure I've wanted to quit. Sure I've been depressed before. Sure I've give in to the way it felt and stuff before, praise God. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says a righteous man might fall, but he'll get up. He won't stay down. He'll get up. The Bible says that God upholds us with the right hand of, with His right hand of righteousness. He's the one holding us up. He's the one giving us His strength. But if we don't rely on Him and stand in faith and confidence in Him, He has nothing to work with in our life, praise God. I thought about what the Lord spoke to me, dropped it in my heart. I'm out on my front steps. I'm 27 years old, and all I'd had up to that point, you know, I'd got saved and everything, but, just shattered dreams, you know. And Travis, he is, when I got saved, year and a half old, you know, and I had a lot of problems in my life, you know. Still got some issues now I'm working on, Johnny. I mean, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And that devil knows that. And he would like to take and the accuser of the brethren in your imperfections and get you not to believe God so you don't get the promised land, so you don't get to the promises, you don't walk in the promises. I'm walking in some of the things that I believed God for 20 years. I'm walking in them. I'm living in them. In other words, I'm not trying to get them anymore. A good marriage. My wife's getting revelation. She's bringing to y'all, and I'm like, glory, hallelujah. I mean, she's getting revelations on things that she asked God for, and show her how, and things that she desires, a good life, enjoy me, enjoy life, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and seekers get. Seekers find. They're knocking, and that door will be open. And praise God. I've read about Jesus today, where Jesus, he had multitudes following him. And there was a bunch of people following him that day. Over 5,000 following him that day. And it come time, you know, to eat and everything. And disciples told him, send them away. You know, and he said, no, you feed them. He said, we've only got two fish and five loaves. Told Jesus that. So Jesus said, bring it to me. And Jesus took that, and the Bible says he looked up to heaven and he blessed it. Then he gave it to the disciples. Why didn't Jesus give it to them? No, he's giving things to us. He gave it to the disciples, and they all ate and had, I think, 12 baskets of fragments. Filled the baskets up off of two fish and five loaves. He is a more than enough, more than able God in your life to take what you don't have and multiply it. Take your not enough. Take your you don't know how and multiply it, and I mean bring provision to you, praise God. I read that one time, and God told me, God said, you see me working right there? I said, yes, I do, Lord. I see you done a miracle right there. He said, that was normal in their lives as they followed me. He said, as you follow me, he said, the supernatural will be normal. I'm sitting there and the Lord spoke to me. I'm telling the Lord, just communing with the Lord, 27-something years old, 27 and a half. And I'm sitting there on my steps, just walked outside. And I'm sitting there and I'm just talking to God. I'm just sitting there having a conversation. I just had learned that I could have a conversation with God. And so I was enjoying having a conversation with a God that I couldn't see with my eyes, but I knew was real in my heart because I'm still here on the planet. Well, when I got done, he spoke to me, and he said, if you'll follow me, he said, I'll bring you to the place to where you want nothing. Now, my head could not wrap around that statement. Why? Because we have to walk by faith. And I didn't have faith at that moment for the statement. But how many knows when God speaks to you out of your communion or preaching or whatever, when God is dealing with you about something to change, God is only going to take you higher. I mean, he's going to take you higher. He's going to reveal things to you. He's going to bring freedom to you. God spoke that to me, and when he did in here, I was like, glory to God, I'm going to follow you, Lord. Well, just as Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And he said, come. And on that word that Jesus spoke to him, there was power for him to do what Jesus said he could do. He stepped out of that boat and walked on the water. Then when he began to look at the situations, he began to cry out and sink, and Jesus still rescued him. But there come a time when Peter wasn't sinking. When Jesus went up, these guys was not born again like me and you. You didn't know that, but they was not born again till the day of Pentecost. Jesus was walking with them and showing them and telling them, pray in this manner, pray down these lines, pray in this notion, pray asking God that these things. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then when they were born again, Peter was not like that again. No, sir. I mean, that mantle, that Holy Spirit came in them like it's in me and you. We are not cowards to circumstances. Even if you've made mistakes, God is still good at putting broken people back together. taking bad choices and bad mistakes and working miracles when that person comes to Jesus. You see it all through the Bible. Yeah, I didn't call all those people that were already fixed up. No, he called broken people. And I mean, he empowered them, and I mean, he changed their thinking, changed their heart, praise God, hallelujah, to where they left all, but they did supernatural things for Jesus. I mean, anybody go fishing? And I went bass fishing, you know, and I'm looking around in there, man, every time I catch one, you know, you never know, praise God. But he went fishing, and he told him to go fishing. And when you catch the fish, take the money out of the mouth. That happened in the Bible. In other words, that gives me and you confidence in God. No matter how he has to bring it, God is a faithful God. And you don't have to worry. You don't have to slack up. But what about all my problems? Forget them problems. Looking unto Jesus. Look to the Word. Don't let what you are going through determine what or how you're going to believe. You've got to learn that it don't have to make sense how Jesus works. You don't have to have it. He's going to do it this way and this way and this way and this. No, he may not do your marriage like he did mine because we're different. He'll deal with you individually. He knows how you are. He knows who you are. You are his. He knows your desires. He knows the things you like, the things you don't like. But I'm going to tell you one thing that he will do. He will use circumstances to give you opportunity. He won't put sickness and disease and all of that on you, but he will let the devil come at times. He'll let unruly people enter into your life. He'll let those enter into your life, but he will never let you be caught off the guard if you are moving forward and you are in faith believing God. The Bible says in Isaiah 54 and 17 that no weapons formed against you will prosper. Now there's a thing that we have to do. You know, if somebody's rubbing me the wrong way and I react the wrong way, then weapons formed against me is prospering. I'm allowing it. You know? And just like in my marriage, I used to get upset at guys. You know, that put more hardship on their wife than they should. You know, they didn't do their part, Johnny. You know, and I worked jobs and all of that, you know, and the Bible, I was talking about Christians. Now, you can expect it out of the world. There ain't no deadbeat men in the kingdom. They shouldn't be. That man should provide and care for. Not worry about it. I never worry about whether she's going. The only time it ever concerned me is when I was coming down here to this church right here and we were leaving a good spirit field. I'm spirit led. I mean, as close to the Bible as I could tell, church that was on the way, that was doing work, working for the Lord, you know, and he wanted me to come and open this church and I'm like, God, have I got what it takes to spiritually feed my wife? And my son, and those people down there. That was my greatest concern. If it wasn't for them, I'm ready. Let's go, baby. But I was considering my wife and considering, you know. I told Teresa today, I said, you know, I said, you never, now y'all ladies need to teach these young ladies because y'all young ladies, that when you get up and you find that Romeo and you're going to get married and you know it's Jesus, you know this is the one, this is not a lust thing, this is not a popular thing, but they got to know that they got to honor that husband. They've got to honor that husband. I told Teresa today, I said, only a few times can I ever remember, you know, not having clean clothes to wear to work or anywhere else. And she told me, she said, yeah, sometimes, you know, I don't feel like it. She said, sometimes I don't want to do it that day. She said, but I'll go look in the closet. I'm trying to teach y'all young ladies something that's pleasing to the Lord that'll cause joy and peace to be in your life and your marriage, your relationships, when it happens, you know. And she said, I'll go in there and look in. She said, I'll notice the baskets were a little full, you know. She said, but I'll go in there if I don't really want to do it. She said, I go in there and I look in the closet and I make sure that you have clothes in there. She said, if you don't, even if I don't want to do it, she said, I go on and I do it anyways. How many knows that's what a woman's supposed to do? I told her, I said, you know, I said it would be bad if it, I said, I know you do a lot. She does a lot for this church. She does a lot. I said, there's no excuse for a woman to not take care of the house. Y'all were quiet, but it's biblical. See, I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to keep marriages together. I am. Putting it out so that faith comes by hearing and knowledge. See, Teresa went to try to find out how to be the wife of a happy husband, was it? The wife. She wanted to find out about her marriage, Johnny, because it was jacked up a little bit. I mean, we married, but we're jacked up about it. Right? The world's taught us. We've taught our own self. Now we're in the kingdom and God says everything's in chaos here. He said in this, he didn't tell us that, but he looks at our marriage and he says everything's in chaos because they're doing things contrary to the Bible. So he began to bring revelation. I told her, I said, you would have no excuse for me not to have food and clothes and the house took care of. You would not have no excuse. Now the women work now today, so work together. Hallelujah. But see, what happens is the enemy, see, that's slacking up. If I can go to work and I've got work and I don't go to work and I just start neglecting my business, praise God, that's ungodly. I'm not thinking about my wife. I'm not thinking about my kids. I'm not thinking about ones that's financially how it's going. No, I've got to be responsible too. And that's why God gives us His Word and we don't believe based on what's going on. Sometimes I don't feel like a husband, but I remember I am. Sometimes I don't feel married, but I am. Got a ring. Aiden asked me the other day, he said, Papa, what's that ring on your finger for? I said, that's because Papa's married. That's a covenant. Some men don't want to wear it because they want to hoochie-goo around out there. I want everybody to know I'm married. I'm shiny. Right? And you ain't coming in here stealing my blessing. There ain't nothing gonna come in. I ain't looking nowhere else. And if you've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you say you're a Christian, you're born again, then don't be flirting, don't be talking, don't have two guys or four women's numbers. Start disciplining yourself now so that you've got discipline, praise God. And don't be jealous of other girls or other. Give that person to the Lord and say, God, I believe you brought this person into my life, and you said you're able to keep that I commit to you, and I commit this to you, God, and I'm not going to boil over with jealousy. I'm not going around. I told Travis the other day. I said, I don't know if it's yesterday or whatever. We work together and we talk, you know, talk more there than we do at my house, you know. And but I told him, I said I could be mad at somebody all the time. I said, but I'm not going to live life angry and mad and upset. And see, if a guy is bad, jealous of you now, what you think is going to change that? When do you get married and he feels like he's got you? Y'all quiet. if she's out here flirting, guys, with other guys, and she's your girlfriend, what do you think she's going to do when you get married? If he or she is not working on that now and getting committed now, getting that heart right now, then not letting God do it now, marriage ain't going to change it. It's going to amplify it. Hallelujah. And I don't know where all that come from. Yes, I do too. I say it's not in my message, but it is. Why? Because God wants you to have victory, to walk in victory, praise God. By the time I got Aiden, he's up there, and I got my scissor lift, you know, up there, and I've confined him to my shop when I've got it up there, and I'm teaching him how to run that scissor lift. He's six. He already knows how to drive tractors and different things and dump buckets. He's only six. Now, he ain't drove it by himself yet because he can't reach the pedals, and I know better. But as soon as he can, I'm going to teach him. I'm going to teach him how to do things, I told him a while ago, I said, Teresa told him, said, that's what men do, you know, whatever it was. And I stuck that sticker on his chest. I said, but you're not a man yet, but stay a kid long as you can. I said, because when you get married, get on up. I said, you're going to have to get a job. You're going to change your oil. You're going to have to do all these things, you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many knows that being in covenant with somebody, you know, is you've got to give yourself to them. They give their self to you. We're in covenant with God. So if God says, love your enemies, then what do? We're in covenant with Him. We got to yield ourselves to Him. We got to yield to Him. And then before you know it, He'll bring you to the place to where you ain't got any enemies. You don't feel you have any enemies anymore. See, more fruit, more freedom. The more that we yield to the Lord, the freer we get. Hallelujah. God's Word is all the evidence that you need to know that you've got victory on the road, the journey that you're on. You see, God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He led them out there. He planned it all along. He had seen them in bondage, heard the cries. They must have been crying out to Him, Johnny. God deliver us. I don't know, you know, but he heard the cries of the people, praise God. How many knows when you're praying and you're seeking God, He hears it, He sees it, and He's answering. He is answering. And so I believe that I have a Proverbs 31 woman. I believe she would go to work for me. I believe if something happened to me that she would take care of me. She would take care of me well. And I have showed in her times of this and that. I failed a lot, but I was there and I would be there and I'm staying there and I'm for you. And God helps you do that, praise God. And you know what? When I'm like that, it brings security to my wife. And you know, when I'm strong in faith, it brings security here. You know, I come here and I'm all weak and beat up and I'm giving into trials and all that. And I'm like, let's cry out to God, y'all. Y'all, you know, y'all are going to leave and say, oh my God, we're whipped. Oh, it would be bad. It would. So I got to stay out here in the front lines, and you got to stay in the front lines for your family. We can't be, God told me one time, He said, you're like a roller coaster Christian. You ever been on a roller coaster? Back up, down. The Lord told me, He said, you can't be a roller coaster Christian. He said, you got to be steady. He said, you got to be steadfast. He said you can't. He said you gotta be temperate. You gotta work on having self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. It's in here. It's in us. The world does it somewhat. You know, how much more supernaturally? I mean, we got the anointing in the Holy Spirit, and we got the angels that are encamped around about us to deliver us and minister to us. The angel of the Lord. It's not a time to slack up and back up. It's a time, I mean, you're in school. You know, I mean, there's no way without the Lord that I could do the schoolwork now. You know, I mean, it's just far out, you know, and not even needed a lot of it. But that's not what the issue is. The issue is till I teach. You know, I've got to encourage them, make straight A's. Ask God to help you in school, make straight A's. I tell Aubrey, she said, Bubba, I don't think I'll get to go to next grade this last year. I said, oh, yes, you will. I said, God's going to school with you. God is in there with you. God's going to help you. See, the world thinks that's stupid and foolish. But God takes the foolish things of this world to confound them that think they're so wise. They're not. They're fools. They think talking to God, asking God, renewing your mind is foolish. Even those that are religious. Religious people, we're weirdos to them. I'm not talking about Christians. Religious and Christians are different. Christians have a relationship. Religious people have laws, rules, and regulations that they break. That they want you to do, but they break them. But Christians walk with God. Those kind of folk think that that's stupid for you to confess you're blessed. When the Bible says for you to call those things like God as though they were, though they are. Say what God says. See, God didn't look over this earth and say, woo, it's dark, man. That void down there, I can't do nothing about that. No, he didn't. He sent the Holy Spirit, sent it to us through Jesus. He sent the Holy Spirit down, hovered over the face of the earth, and he said, light be, and light was. See, God did something about it through words. That's why you need to go around calling yourself blessed. The Bible says you're blessed going in, blessed going out. I say it all the time. I just said it the other day. I say it periodically. Everything I set my hands to do is blessed. I don't always feel like it. It don't always look like it. But in the end, it turns out that way. See, that's why the Bible says in Hebrews over there, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward after that you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. One of the Amplified versions says that you will get the good fruit of what He promised in your life. I thought, glory to God, I didn't even know that. Meant all of that, but that's what I believed anyways. See, revelation had come to you with the Amplified Bible. It goes so deep the Amplified Bible don't understand it yet. Why? Because they ain't got to the depth of God. Look, man, He's huge. He's deep. We gonna know Him in His fullness after we leave here. I don't think that we can handle Him in His fullness here. That's why we know in part. We have in part. That's why we've always got to be open to the Holy Spirit. See, the thing about it is, you're where you are right now, but next year you might have a different job. The people in the place might change, you know. They might build 3 or 4 houses and the devil move in 3 of them around you. You're in a different place. Different situations. Hallelujah. See, how many knows if we are not aware of it, things will creep in and take our fight away. The way we feel. I mean, there's times when you do want to get a divorce if you get really mad at your wife or your husband. You feel like, I want out of this. Am I the only one or? Teresa, thank you. Hallelujah. Had some people tell me one time, I was talking about, you know, me and Teresa got into it a little bit or something, teaching on marriage a little bit, you know, and walking through and messing up and getting it right and then bringing it to the church, what's right, you know, and trying to help them, you know. And I was telling them, you know, after church, Timmy said, we ain't never had an argument. I said, you will. Y'all still on your honeymoon. Well, you know what? They're divorced today. They're divorced today. Why? Because as life sets in, praise God, things change. People change. They got out of church, number one. I mean, once me and Teresa got tired of sucking each other's air, you know, we so in love. You know, I mean, we sleep in the car somewhere. We sleep in behind the shop, and we're married on a bed behind the shop. We don't care. We're just together. Well, when all of that settled down after a little while, you know, we want a house. And we she wants me to quit living with mom and daddy. Don't live with your mom and daddy when you get married. Get out and get a house. I told Travis, I said, before you marry Beth, you're going to have a house for her. Y'all are not coming to mine. Simple. I've had to come keep you and mom together for years, and it's over when you get married. That battle left me. Travis, I'm getting married. I said, enjoy the ride. Well, are you enjoying it, son? Hallelujah, still enjoying it. But I can tell you, they've been through some fiery ones. And praise God, and this is going to come again. But now we should be getting wiser and wiser, not yielding to those fiery ones. And I mean, keeping our guard up, praise the Lord, hallelujah. So y'all guys, get ready. That's why I was telling Aiden, you're going to just stay a kid as long as you can. You know, you're going to grow up. Well, you guys are going to be responsible then. Get her a house. Got to turn the water on. The water meter's $1,000. House payment's $550 unless you save enough cash to buy one, pay cash. It's $550 at least, $650. And if you're smart, don't go 30 years, go 15, now it's $1,000. Well, he can get you $500 as quick as he can $1,000. I'm telling these young guys something here. Life will happen to you. Praise God, hallelujah. But if you're already equipped and you're already temperate and you're already settled knowing how to believe God, all of these things are just a joy because you in faith, knowing, believing, confidence that God is going to supply all of your needs. Why? Because you've been getting your skills together while you were young. You've been taking, laying hold of the Word of God and saying, God, I'm not going to have a jacked up life. I'm not going to have a jacked up marriage, Lord. When I get married, God, I'm going to believe you all the way, and it's going to be the right one. We told Travis, you better make sure she's the right one. She is. He did good. Lord helped him. Because he was like a little jackrabbit there for about 3 or 4 months and met Beth. I'm like, oh my God, what's he doing all of this for? You know? And then just settle down and say, nope, I trained him up in the, see parents, you train them up and then you got that to stand on when it looks like they gonna go out and get off track, hallelujah. You got that to stand on. You've got that faith that God will make sure that nothing, that everything is stopped, that it's the enemy. I'm believing God to see y'all young men and women in here, praise God, 10, 15 years from now, and you ain't all jacked up. You still in the house of God. You still serving God. You done moved out on your own, got married, whatever the case might be, and you still serving God, and you still committed to God, and you have a good life. And then I'm going to look at it and say, yes, Lord, they thought I was hard. They thought they couldn't take it there, Lord. And some of them wouldn't, Lord. They come to me one time, a woman had a bunch of teenage kids and maybe her grandkids. What you got going on for the youth here? And I said, the Bible. No, I mean, you know, for fun. I said, nothing. Well, my mentality is we're not a daycare. We're not a drop-off place for the kids. We're here, praise God, life is serious, and this serious in their life. And they might think they need to have fun and be free, and that's okay. They gonna think that. Let them think that. We know they don't, and they ain't. And then when they get up and got kids like Travis and them, he's telling them the same things we told them. I'm like, oh, now do it, huh? Oh, it's time to be father now. Well, I mean, you thought all that was stupid back there. Now he's telling them the same thing. Why? Because he sees further than they do. Because he sees life further than they do. You know, now he's experienced God. He's experienced. And that's the way y'all guys will be. I'm believing God, every kid you have, I hope y'all want 17 like my mom and daddy. We'll fill the house in a few years. We family, right? Y'all go forward, multiply. I'm believing God you will get as many as you want to believe God for, but just make sure you're willing to commit them to the Lord and raise them up in the Lord and train them in the things of God. Look for the talents in their life and help them build those talents. Hallelujah. See, that's no time is a time to slack up. Now, that don't mean just be wore out fighting, because faith has rest. When you're believing God, you can be in the battle. When you're believing God, you know the battle's not yours. You're not in your own strength trying to figure out the battle. You're in God. You're in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit, and you know God got you. You know God's got you covered. You know that God won't let you down. You know that God will see you through. You know, it tried to worry me when I bought my house. And God used me, you know, about my house. I'd always wanted, she said, you need to buy a house. You know, and I wanted to tell her, who's going to make the payments? I'm not. I got enough payments. You know, and I left there and I thought, you know what, she's right. Dee's right. I didn't know how anointed she was. I just thought she's trying to collect all my money and give it away to the government. Tax collectors was not liked in the Bible. They wasn't. Not you, Dee. We love you. Praise God. But really, they wasn't liked in the Bible, you know, praise God. And I thought, man, she's a Christian tax collector. I wonder if people know that, you know. We need them, though. We need them good Christian tax collectors. She's not a tax collector. She helps you do your taxes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if you need somebody, she's a good one. She'll help you out, praise God. She knows the ropes, and I'll take a commission for that. No. Send me an offering. I'm advertising free. No. Praise God. I'm just being funny, praise the Lord. But how many knows that, see, the Word of God is all the evidence you need to know that you have victory. You say, well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand. Just read your Bible. Cast those things over on the Lord that tries to ride your mind. Do it a million times a day if you have to. I don't care how much you have to do it. You know, if something's trying to worry you, the Bible tells you not to worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't think about your life. Take no thought saying, what are we going to do? What about tomorrow? What am I going to do? What if that don't work out? You got to come on and grow out of that realm there, because that is the low realm. The high realm is up here where your mind is stayed on the Lord because you're trusting Him. And you have to train yourself to do it. That's fine. Once you get trained, it's not hard to do anymore. See, the more you train yourself through your mind to stay word-minded and God-minded, the easier it is to walk in that. And I mean, when you do that, revelation will come. Revelation's what caused you to get stable. Once you get revelation, I mean, you cannot convince me that I won't prosper. You cannot. This Bible, through meditation on this Bible, and God revealing it in my heart, kind of like this. Jesus goes to Peter, I believe it was. He said, Peter, who do they say I am? He said, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this, that. He said, but who do you say I am? And he said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And he spoke to Peter and he said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that. In other words, revelations come to you, son. Man didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Upon revelation knowledge, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you, brother. Can't. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I just believe it. I've been praying over all of y'all, and I've been telling the devil, you can't do nothing to them. What's wrong with you, man? They belong to God. You go ahead and try. You know, they're in faith. I feel like if I keep y'all in faith, then it'll quench all the fiery darts of the devil according to Ephesians 6. The Bible says, taking the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. So if you're in faith, guess what happens? boop, pow, boop, pow. I mean, faith's just going boom, boom. He wanted to lie to you. Nobody loves me. Poof, bone. All of that. Oh, your past is going to catch up with you and get you. Can't. He's your rear guard. If you're in faith, boom, gone. Hallelujah. Faith is a shield. It's a shield that, man, you're in. I thought about it this way one time. I thought, I'm in a bubble, Lord. Faith is like, I'm in a bubble. You know, man, I'm just walking along here and it's just turning with me and the devil, thoop, don't even come in, can't even get in. And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, those that are believing me, he said, there are things that I took care of through your faith that you never even knew anything about, that were headed to you, that was meant for you, that come and somebody got it in your stead because you're steadfast, trusting, fixed, trusting in me. Hallelujah. Don't you think it's foolish, y'all young men, women in school? Don't you think it's foolish to serve Jesus? If they mock at you, you're blessed. Know that you're blessed. Take it as an honor. If they shun you because you're a Christian, you take it as an honor. It's an honor to stand up for Jesus Christ because he's standing up for you. I mean, he's taking charge for you. He's got your whole future already planned out. He's got everything. And this, where you're at right now, is just a training ground. School is a training ground. It's a training ground for college in the natural, but it's a training ground for the things of God in the supernatural. It brings you up higher and higher in God. You know, I've seen it before. I've seen teenagers. I've seen some of them in fire at church, you know. And I've seen the rest of them just around, scratching their head, wishing service was over and all that. They lived a mundane, wish they had something life, wish they had something. These other kids would come in and they had joy, these teenagers. They had joy and they were satisfied, so they wasn't trying to look for something to make them satisfied because they were satisfied. And the other ones, they turned toward the world, you know, to satisfy them. They felt this longing. See, there's a longing in me and you, whether we're 5 or whether we're 105, there's a longing in me and you that for the Lord. Our heart cries, Abba Father, the Bible says. And that longing is only fulfilled in going after him and identifying with him. I'm telling you, after I got born again, I started really going after the Lord. I started fasting every week and reading my Bible often, you know, and listening to preaching as much as possible on the radio, driving the truck, you know, and then talking with the Lord, singing to the Lord and all that. I mean, my life, I was like, man, this is what I've really been looking for my whole life. You know, I mean, I feel satisfied. I mean, the very job that I quit, I ain't no telling how many times I really was enjoying my job. I'm like, man, this is a miracle. I'm enjoying this place. I cut myself with a chainsaw. I cut my leg with a chainsaw. And I was going to, you know, cut some logs and haul some logs. I cut myself with a chainsaw. And the doctor told me, you know, you can't bend that leg or nothing for 6 weeks, whatever it was. You know, and I sat there a couple of days, and I can't stand it. I mean, I called my boss, and I said, look, man, I said, I won't bend my leg. I said, I can't tote no sheetrock or nothing like that. I said, but I can drive. I said, it was 13 speed that I drove. I said, once I get it in low gear, I don't have to mash the clutch anymore. I said, I'll just shift it all out in gears and slow down way before the red light and all that stuff, you know. And I said, I need to come back to work. And I'm thinking, are you stupid? Man, you got an opportunity not to go to work for 4 or 5 weeks here, man. What's wrong with you? Used to, I'd cut my leg just to get out of work. Jeez, you know. But what I'm saying is, you know, I'm there and I'm at work and I'm like, man, this is really good. I don't hate being here. I don't wish I wasn't here, you know, man. I mean, you know, this is really good, Lord. And then later on, I run across scripture where it said that I would enjoy the works of my hands. I didn't even know it said that, but I thought, that's what it is. He's causing me to enjoy the works of my hands. See, God will cause you to enjoy life right where you're at, even if it might not be a favorable place. Or, I mean, you might be in Buntsville school and wish that that's the last school on the planet you wanted to be in. But, you know, you get God involved and praise God, and that'll be the best school you could ever went. Why? Because you're right in the middle of God's will. You're better off right in the middle of God's will than to be way off over yonder in the best school and unhappy. Or wherever you're at. Coleman, I don't know, we're talking all over the world. You're in India somewhere. Same God over there. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, don't slack up. That enemy comes to my house. I come home sometimes and I just feel like Teresa's in the wrong spirit or something. I feel it. And I'll go in and she'll feel it too. It ain't showed up till we got there. You think that can't happen? Satan goes and he goes at different times to places. He can't be like God everywhere all the time. When he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, said the Bible says he left for a more opportune time, another opportunity to come back to Jesus. Well, man, Teresa, we'd fall into that. We fell into it for years. We really did, you know. I'd be like, man, I was in the right spirit till I got here. She's like, yeah, well, I was till you got here. I said, what are you saying it's me? What are you saying I'm the devil? Blah, blah. We'd get in fights. I mean, not really fist fights, but we'd get in fights over who was in the right spirit and who wasn't. And then we mad at each other for 3 or 4 days. Then you don't want to go to church. You don't want to pray anymore. I'm not praying today. Bless God, I just ain't praying. I ain't praying. I ain't reading that Bible. I don't want to listen to that. Why? You done yielded to that flesh. You done yielded to that wrong spirit. Now you're draining your faith. You're draining your joy. You're letting it out. You pulled the plug out. We fell into that. But now you know what happens? I pull up and I feel it. I get out. Oh, you stupid idiot. You going to try that? We're way wiser. Now, if we feel that, we're just quiet. We know it shouldn't say nothing. Because right then you feel like if you turn loose, it would be the best thing on the planet. Oh, you could just turn loose one more time. Just one more time for old time's sake. But no, we'll sit there, you know, we'll just be quiet, won't say nothing. How many knows that's the Bible says, and give no place to the devil, don't it? Well, what sometimes that's just don't respond. Just don't respond. Me, I used to want to fix her. I was fine till you got here. No, I was fine till you got here. You know, if any of that tries to happen in your house, be wise. Just don't give the devil no place. Don't give him any opportunity. And don't dwell on it. Don't sit there dwelling on it. Dwell on God. Think on God. So, I mean, get up, go out and tell that devil, you know what? You've done that for the last time at my house, praise God. It's for me and my, I mean, to begin to remind him what you're going to do. It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, I went in last night, and I'll close with this. Went in last night, and the grandkid spends the night with us every Tuesday night. And my day's about over at 5, you know. I enjoy them, praise God. But anyhow, you know, Teresa's in there playing dominoes with them. They're playing games and this and that, you know. And just spending time with the grandkids and on purpose, a lot of it, games and different things. And you know what, praise God, I thought, well, you know what? Praise God, she's got this stuff laid out in here. I've never cooked for the grandkids, you know, a meal or nothing. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to let her continue on enjoying the grandkids. And I'm just going to come in here and ask her a couple of questions, and I put on supper for the grandkids. You know, I put on everything, you know, and she come in there, and I could tell she wanted to just, you know. And I said, look, I said, just go enjoy your grandkids, you know, and I'll take on. I mean, you know, because she gives them a bath and this and that. And so her not speedy. I thought I'm just going to go ahead and give her some off time. You know, I'm going to go in there and cook with them and everything, cook for them and everything. So I went in there and cooked supper. Did I want to? No, I was tired. But see, love sacrifices. Love's not selfish. Love thinks about others. Love lifts the load for the others every now and then. I mean, you know, I try to do it here. Things need to do in church. I'm not going to embark on anybody, you know, man, because everybody, when they're off, they like their time and blah, blah, blah. That's wrong, really. But that's right in my heart because I don't put no unnecessary pressure on other folk, you know. And so God gives you the grace when you do that. He graces you, enables you. So it's not a time to slack up and let Satan jack you up. I mean, that sucker, that's all he is. He's just a bully. He just comes out here like he's really can do something. But God sound the alarm for you tonight, praise God. He's bringing these things up, praise God. So you go out and you hear and you do. You be a doer of God's word. And then as God shows you, do your best to do it. And I mean, if you feel like you can't, ask God. Lean on Him. Lean on the Holy Spirit. Lean on Him. Strengthen you. I told the Lord, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, Lord, as individuals, God. That we would know what the hope of Your calling is. We would have insight. And I told Him, I said, give all of us revelation where we're at, God. See, because I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you at in life. I don't know what you need, but God does. I might know some things in the natural, but that might not be what you need. That might be a natural thing where I can see, but there may be roots that causing that. See, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You. And Father, we just thank You.